What is the state of North Carolina when it comes to the midterm elections? We got Tom Jensen on the line right now. He's the director of public policy polling based out of Raleigh to talk about the state of things here in this state. Tom, good to be with you today.
Hey, Aaron. Good to be with you.
And let's start by talking about the judicial reform, because I know Public Policy Polling did a survey recently that we've already briefly quoted on the air today about the question of changing the way that judges are elected, which Republicans have been kind of talking about and pushing some reform that they're not agreeing on, different proposals that they don't agree on. Democrats are opposed to it. A lot of people in the judicial system are opposed to it. They say there's no reason to make any changes in the first place. Where do North Carolinians stand? What do we know?
They really hate it. When we've polled on all the different aspects of what they're thinking about doing with judicial reform, there's just very little support from voters for it, particularly with the idea of actually taking the power away from voters to appoint judges and giving that to the legislature instead. That's something that you find 75% of voters opposed to, only 13% in support of, and obviously it's pretty hard to find anything in North Carolina politics that 75% of people disagree on, but that's extremely popular, unpopular. And then this issue specifically of redrawing the judicial district, only 33% of voters support that, 52% are opposed to it. And we polled on a number of different dimensions of what the legislature is thinking about doing with judicial elections. And just across the board, every single thing that they're thinking about doing has very little support from the public.
So with that in mind, let's talk about the midterm elections coming up in November. We've been talking a number of times on the air, you and I, about the state of things nationwide and the extent to which it's looking more and more like a year where Democrats are going to make some pretty significant gains, not necessarily huge gains, but that's certainly a possibility given the way the numbers are taking shape and the way that trends are developing. That's nationally. What does it look like in North Carolina?
Well, it looks very positive for Democrats in North Carolina. One thing that's sort of interesting about the situation in the state this year is we don't have a major statewide race. There's no governor's race, no Senate race. The sort of premier statewide race is going to be for the state Supreme Court. And what that means is that even more than usual, the midterms are going to be decided in North Carolina by which side is more energized. And Democrats just have a huge energy advantage right now. A new statewide poll actually came out yesterday that showed overall people say they're going to vote Democratic by 6 points in North Carolina this year. But then when you narrow it down to people who are actually excited about getting out to vote this year, that advantage for Democrats goes up to double digits. So I think that you're going to see Democrats do well in those statewide judicial elections and also pick up a good number of legislative seats. And then we'll see how the congressional stuff shakes out. One thing that's kind of interesting with those judicial seats is that Republicans obviously made all the judicial elections partisan over the last 2 years at the statewide level. That's going to end up helping Democrats this year because it's going to be such a strong Democratic year, whereas in some past strong Democratic years, Republicans were able to hold on to some of their judicial seats because of them being nonpartisan. So it's sort of funny that this is a case where Republicans changed the rules, and it's actually probably going to backfire on them. I think that Anita Earls for Democrats in the Supreme Court race is going to be the closest thing to a candidate who can get people excited about a Supreme Court race that there exists for such a thing. And if she wins, that's going to put the Democratic advantage on the state Supreme Court up to 5-2. So there will at least be one branch of government that I think Democrats maybe are going to come out of this year with a pretty good handle on.
Typically, and I know this has come up in past elections as well, typically you get a higher turnout among Republican and Republican-leaning voters than you do among Democratic and Democratic-leaning voters. Is that enthusiasm gap going to wipe out that advantage this year?
Yeah, I also think that a big part of sort of what this comes down to sometimes is that the side that is out of power is more motivated, mm-hmm. and that might overcome any sort of inherent Republican sort of standard advantage in midterms. The last time that we had this blue moon election cycle with no governor race or Senate race in North Carolina was in 2006. And I think there's a pretty good argument that 2006 is the best year that Democrats had in North Carolina electorally, maybe in the last 30, 35 years, something like that. They were winning legislative seats that they had no business winning, picked up a congressional seat, almost picked up another congressional seat that wasn't on anybody's radar, did very well in the judicial elections. And the dynamics going into that election were very similar as the dynamics going into this one. It was a midterm election with an unpopular Republican president. Democrats wanted to do anything they could to get out and sort of just show their displeasure with George W. Bush. And it's a similar dynamic this year where I think Democrats are going to really turn out strong to send a message to Donald Trump. And the way that they can do that this year is to go out and vote Democratic for the legislature and Congress and judicial races. So we have that pretty strong precedent from the last election that was similar to this. Where Democrats really did do strikingly well.
And I keep thinking about 2010 and 2014 as well as the possible harbinger for this year, too, because in those two elections, you had in the previous election cycle, 2008 and 2012, you had a lot of people who were really energized to get out and vote for Barack Obama as the presidential candidate. And then once the midterm rolled around, Obama's not on the ballot anymore. So a lot of those people didn't show up to vote, and Republicans end up doing really well. Maybe even the flip side this time around with the number of Republican voters, especially like first-time Republican voters who are really excited about getting out to vote for Donald Trump in 2016. A lot of those people still like Donald Trump and support him, but he's not on the ballot in 2018. So what are the odds that they're going to turn out again to vote for Republican candidates who aren't Trump?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right about that. I mean, one thing that being in power does for the base of the party that's in power is it reduces their sense of urgency. Republicans did a good job of turning out in midterms in 2010 and 2014 because they wanted to stick it to Obama. But now they have the White House, they have the House, they have the Senate. There's not that same sort of sense of urgency to get out and vote to send a message. It's just a reality that I think voters, with the very rare exception of having a sort of remarkable candidate like Barack Obama, or even a remarkable candidate for better or worse than Donald Trump. If there isn't somebody like that, who's just an amazing figurehead, what motivates voters more is what they're mad about. And right now it's Democrats who are mad, Republicans who are relatively fine with how things are going. And that's probably going to have pretty negative ramifications for Republicans at the polls this year.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, publicpolicypolling.com is their website. Go there and get more information, more numbers from North Carolina and across the country. So staying with North Carolina, all of this in consideration, what do you think this might translate into in terms of pickups for Democrats in congressional elections? We got 13 districts in terms of the general election and other races.
Well, I think what's interesting about the congressional elections, and obviously we might end up with a different map than we have right now, but with the map that we do have, we're not supposed to have any competitive congressional elections. And I think we're actually setting up to have three House elections this year that could very well end up being competitive. One big piece of news this week was that in the 13th district, which generally on paper is seen as being the best opportunity for Democrats, the Democratic candidate, Kathy Manning, raised over $600,000 in her finance report that came out. That's really an astounding amount of money raised at this stage in the campaign for what generally, at least in the national scheme of things, is sort of viewed as a second-tier pickup opportunity for Democrats. The way you turn second-tier pickup opportunities into first-tier pickup opportunities is do things like raise $600,000. So I think a lot of people who that race against first-term Republican incumbent Ted Budd, it might not have been on their radar screen a couple months ago, those financial numbers are really going to draw some attention. Then down in the 9th district in Charlotte, Robert Pittenger barely got renominated in 2016. He's facing another really tough Republican primary challenge this time. Republicans are divided. They're going to have a bruising primary. Whoever emerges from it is going to be a little bit damaged. And that's another place where Democrats have a strong candidate. Dan McCready has been able to raise a lot of money, has a good military background. I think that district's going to be brought into play. And then the other one that's sort of interesting as a wild card in the triangle is the second district with George Holding. There's a bunch of Democrats running for that, and we'll see if the primary ends up giving them a strong candidate to emerge from that or not. But, you know, I think over the four election cycles with this basic set of congressional lines that we've been talking every year. Every time you've asked me, is there any action with the House districts? 2012, I said no. 2014, I said no. 2016, I said no. This is the first time I can say yes. We do have some House races that look like they're going to be very interesting. And if we end up with new lines, it's going to be very hard without a partisan gerrymander for Republicans to keep a 10-3 advantage, any sort of map that can't take partisan or racial circumstances into consideration. I think at the least, Democrats are going to pick up a couple more seats. It's going to be funny if Democrats end up in charge of the House like 219 to 216 just because North Carolina's House lines had to get redrawn again. But that is certainly not an impossible outcome.
PublicPolicyPolling.com is the website. Go there and find out more. Tom Jensen, we got to let you go. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.